the way, the truth, and the life. You know, this message was sort of laid on my heart after a political season of hearing a lot of things, and a lot of them weren't the truth. And we hear about all these companies that do something called fact-checking. You know, you can watch it in real time. Somebody shares something. You can see if they're telling the truth or not. And we gauge so much on what the truth is. And we hear about what the truth is. But today we're going to talk about what the real truth is. We're going to talk about what the real way is and who is the life and how we can have eternal life. So if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn along with me to John chapter 14. I'll be reading verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to go on and just hit the points briefly here, because I want this also to be preparing us to partake of the Lord's Supper. When we come up here today to partake of the Lord's Supper, I want you to understand that when Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," what he's saying is that you are accepting the fact that you acknowledge that Jesus is the way, that he is the truth, and that he is the life, and that there's no other way to the Father, which is heaven, except through him. So before we read these verses, let's go ahead and pray and ask God to help us with wisdom. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for how you watch over us. Thank you, Lord, for what you want to teach us today. We pray that our hearts are ready to hear. I do not believe that there's anyone here by accident. Lord, that you work something in their life to have them here, to hear the word of God, that we are not thinking, oh, I'm so glad somebody else gets to hear it. That we're not thinking that, oh, somebody else should be here. But that we would look at what you would have for each one of us individually. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us. I pray that you'd speak to me. Lord, that you'd change me to be more like you. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. John 14, verses 1 through 6, just so we understand that Jesus is sharing this. If we looked at the time, he had just washed the disciples' feet. And so this is in the evening. He's about to eat, and he's probably already eaten with them. And this is a teaching that Jesus knows that he's going to be dying at noon the next day. And so this is a teaching he wants to get across to them between now and the midnight when he's arrested. So he starts this path of teaching, and that's what we're going to look at Bible study on Wednesday. But the teaching that happens in these few chapters are so key to what we believe about Jesus. And so Jesus starts teaching, and he knows that they're wondering. He knows that they're weary. So if you're here this morning, you're weary at all, this is for us. Listen to the way he starts with the disciples. This is for each one of us. And it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Anyone with troubled hearts today, anyone going through a situation or knowing you're going to go through a situation, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What a wonderful statement this is. We live in a world where we don't know what the truth is because we're told the truth is this or this. But there is a truth, and we who are believers believe that truth because it's there for us. People have tried to do away with it, and they cannot because it is the truth. What we have here from Jesus is the ultimate comfort. For any of you that are going through any type of troubles, for any of you that will go through troubles, and I'll guarantee you we all will. We will all have hard times. If you're not going through it now, just wait a little bit. You'll be going through it soon. You'll be having a troubled mind. You'll be having a hard time soon enough. But here we have Jesus with the ultimate comfort, knowing what they were about to go through. If you're going through troubles now or about to a tough time, think about what the disciples were going through. Jesus had washed their feet. Jesus had just predicted Judas's betrayal. He predicted Peter's denial. He predicted the disciples all fleeing. And then he predicted his own death. He says, "I'm going to die. I'm going to die tomorrow. He keeps saying this to them, and this is where they had put all their eggs in this basket of Jesus. They had given up all, and they had followed him, and now he's saying he's going to leave them. So their minds are troubled. And so how does Jesus comfort those who are troubled? It's the same comfort each one of us should ultimately have. That comfort is in not what's going on here now, but what he's promised for us. In John 14, listen to these first four verses again. And as believers, this should bring us ultimate comfort. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that where you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." I don't know if any of you gone through hard times, and the only hope was that eternal life. I think about some of you who've lost a dear loved one. Don, losing your wife, I got to believe you think about heaven often. Lil, losing Don after 70 years of marriage just last year. Have you thought about heaven a few times? And isn't that the ultimate comfort for us? To know no matter what struggles we are going through here, that we have that hope. The disciples were about to go through some very rough times. And Jesus thinks it's so important to share with them what their ultimate hope is, where the ultimate comfort is. And this is only for those of us that believe in him, and we all can believe in him. So how would you ever get through a rough time in life without knowing about Jesus Christ? It tells us that we can grieve, but it says we grieve like those who have hope. We have hope when we have Jesus Christ. We have eternal life, and we have that ultimate comfort of knowing no matter how bad it gets here on earth, no matter how bad our health gets, that someday we are going to be restored in a new body, and we get to live in an eternal home called heaven with Jesus Christ our Lord. That is our ultimate comfort, and that's what he's preparing them for. It's no different than for each one of us. That same comfort that he was comforting the disciples with is the same comfort he comforts each of us as believers with. I love 2 Corinthians 4. I've shared this at a few funerals. I know, Ken, at your dad's funeral, this is some of the verses I shared with him, and I know this means something. It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal." Let's focus on those eternal things. Then all of a sudden, the small things that happen here on earth don't mean much, because in a short period of time, our life is over with. We have eternity in heaven. So we fix our eyes on those eternal things. And that's what brings us comfort. When you're going through a rough time, you're going through trial, you're going through hardship, sometimes the only place you can look is at heaven. You're going through a hard time, you can understand that this is only temporary, that he has an eternal home for us. But praise the Lord, not only does he have an eternal home, he wants to use us here on this earth that we can share that good news with everyone around. So we have that ultimate comfort we see. But then we understand when Christ says that I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one gets to the heaven except through me, that he is saying that there is only one way to heaven. There is only one way to heaven. I know this political season, you hear a lot about narrow-mindedness and everything else. But if we have the truth, if we know that there is a lock and it's called heaven and the only way is through Jesus, if we tell anyone else anything else, we are lying to them and we're not giving them the truth. And what good is it to say, yes, what you're doing is okay too? No, it's only through Jesus Christ. And it might seem narrow-minded, but if we believe it's the truth, that's the only way to show love, is saying that it is the only way, because that's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and life. We're going to break that down into those three phrases. Jesus said he is the way. He doesn't say he's a way. He doesn't say there's other doors to get into heaven. There's a back door through that, another side door through that. He says, I am the way. the way, no other way. It seems narrow-minded, but this is what Jesus says, and if I believe he's the truth, this is what I have to hold to. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the truth says. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Father who lives in heaven, though therefore the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And that would be horrible if he said, I'm only going to pick a few of you. But he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He offers that key to everyone. But some people say, no, I'm going to try my own key. I'm going to use my own key to get to heaven. And that's going to fail every time. He has given us the way. It's not Buddha. It's not Islam. It's not good works. It's not our heritage. It's not even our religion. But it's only through Jesus Christ. We cannot worship multiple gods. It is only one God and one key. That is that hope for eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way. We all deserve not to go to heaven, but there's only one way. And Jesus says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, who is Jesus Christ, is eternal life. He's standing there with these keys in his hand, saying, they're for anyone. Just come get it. Come get it. But most people choose never to take it. It says the way to heaven is a narrow way. And he's offering to those of us that come to him and repent and grab that key and say, thank you, Lord. And you have an opportunity today to do that with the Lord's Supper. To receive Jesus saying, this is my body. This is my blood. This is the key to eternal life. If you receive it the way you should receive it, with humbleness. It sounds narrow-minded, but if it's the truth, it's the truth. And Jesus said, Jesus is the way. I am the way. Then he says, Jesus is the truth. Not any other truth, but he is truth. Jesus is the only truth. You know, there'll be people in many places that tell us many other things, but we either have to believe that Jesus says what he means or he doesn't. You've heard the thing, either Jesus is a liar or a lunatic or he's Lord. He's one or the other. He can't be liar and Lord, because it tells us in scriptures that God never lies. Certainly he cannot be a lunatic and be Lord. So which one are you going to choose? Are you going to choose that Jesus is a lunatic? Are you going to choose that Jesus is a liar? Or are you going to choose that Jesus is your Lord? That's your choice. Are you going to receive Jesus Christ? He desires all men to be saved. He brings this to you. He offers it to you. Are you going to accept what Jesus has for you, that ultimate comfort of eternal life? It's not what I think or the world thinks or the majority thinks or politicians think, but rather what Jesus Christ says is the truth. Fact checking. You know, so many people, I dare you, if you're a skeptic of Christianity, I dare you to take your time and try to disprove it. We have several great minds that I love to read of people who try to disprove Christianity, and in the process of trying to disprove it, guess what? They've accepted it because they came to that was the truth. They came to that was the truth. Josh McDowell, you've probably heard him in the Christian realm. He was an agnostic, and a professor at college encouraged him to go ahead and study it and try to disprove Christianity. Josh McDowell had nothing to do with Christianity. He believed there was a God, but the Christian was nothing. So he went about to try to disprove Christianity in an honest and open way. And through that process, he found that Christianity held the truth. And through that, he accepted Jesus Christ. He was an agnostic. Well, one better would be Lee Strobel. He had a doctorate degree, I believe, from Yale. He was an author. He wrote for Chicago Tribune. And he set out to disprove God because he was an atheist. And in the process of doing an honest evaluation of who God is and who Jesus Christ was and Christianity, he came to the point where he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior because he found that it was the truth. So do some fact-checking. Don't just accept it from somebody else. Don't just accept it from me. Do your own research and try to disprove God's word. And I'll guarantee you, if you do it properly, if you do it with a true heart, you will come to what the real truth is. That's one of the reasons we're going to look at that book that Lee Strobel did, The Case for Christ. And that's what the process that he went through to try to disprove it. And the process, he came to be a believer, and now he's out speaking. He has his own ministry, winning other people for Jesus Christ. So he's either the liar, lunatic, or Lord. And if you set out to try to disprove the truth of Jesus Christ, you will come to the same conclusion that many people have, that he is Lord. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh," that's Jesus Christ coming from heaven, was with God from creation, came to heaven, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So we've seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 8:31, 32, "To the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" The truth is absolute. There is a right and there is a wrong. When we start muddying that all up, we'll be whatever we want the truth to be. But there is a truth, and you need to search that truth. So Jesus says, "I am the way." He says, "I am the truth." And then he says, "Jesus is the life. I am the life." Not only is Jesus life, but he offers that to each one of us who believes. He came from heaven. He came to earth. He died because we needed a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. He became that perfect sacrifice. He offered himself. And for those of us that believe in him, we'll have eternal life. John 10:10. "The thief, who is Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, 'I have come that you may have life and have it to the full.'" You feel like your life is something but to the full? Trust Jesus to give you that life. Come to him and ask him for that life. Ask him for the way. Ask him for the truth, and he'll give it to you. John 20:31, "But these are written," which is God's word. God's word is our truth. This is truth. It says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life." You may have life in his name. So I ask you, what do you do with Jesus this morning? Do you believe he is what he said he was? Do you believe that he is the way? Do you believe he is the truth? Do you believe he's the life? Or do you believe he's just another way? And then if you believe he's just another way, then you don't take God at his word, so you think he's lying here. So you look at Jesus as a liar. If you think the whole thing is made up, then you find him as a lunatic. Or you can do your research and you'll come to the conclusion that Jesus is Lord. You have to make that decision. Nobody can make it for you. And when you come to that conclusion, you too will have life and have it abundantly. You too will be able to grab on to that greatest comfort of all, to know that Jesus is your Lord and that he prepared a place for you. Lil, isn't that amazing to think that we're going to get to heaven and there's going to be a door in Lil's name, hopefully right next to Don's room, that you're going to have that place in heaven forever and ever, that you get to be with your Lord. No more problems, no more struggles, it tells us, no more tears. This perfect place. That is what he's given us. But we need to know Jesus is the only way. We can't open that lock any other way. We can't open it by what we do. We can't open it by what we say. We can't open it by other religions or our own religion. It's only through Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the heaven. No one comes to my Father except through me." The big question to prepare you for Lord's Supper today: are we Christians narrow-minded for believing in the truth? Ask yourself. Because sometimes we like to keep it quiet. Are you narrow-minded? You might be called narrow-minded. You'll be called many things. Jesus was called many things. And Wednesday night we'll see that, how he was predicting that they'd go underneath persecution for believing this. And that's exactly what happened. And God knew that because he's the truth. So we have to stand up for the truth. Because any other way is going to leave somebody out of eternity forever and ever. Let's make sure we, first of all, come to know the truth. And then we want to share that truth with others around us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. Lord, as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper now, we pray that our minds are made up, that we accepted you as our personal Lord and Savior, that we acknowledge you as Lord. Lord, we acknowledge you as the way. We acknowledge you as the truth. We acknowledge you as the life. We acknowledge that there's only one way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. We pray as we prepare to partake of Lord's Supper that you'd allow us to recognize that we cannot do this on our own, that we are sinful people, that we need to be forgiven. And Father, as we come to you and we seek forgiveness, that you are willing to forgive us, you are willing to restore us, and you are willing to be the way, the truth, and the life in each one of our lives. We pray that we would come accept that, and then we would know without a shadow of a doubt that you prepared a home in heaven for each and every one of us. Lord, thank you for that great comfort, and thank you for Jesus. We pray this now in your name.